Imagine. I want to say big love and good morning to you. Stretch your imagination. How this world would be a better place if we can just juggle the thing as one. No religion, no boundaries, no divorce, no love, no hate. Yes, no love, no hate. Just honor and respect. And just divine freedom. That's what we're talking about. I want to say big love and good morning to you. Good afternoon, good evening as well. It is CRS Radio, Caribbean Radio Show, the Knowledge Station. And of course, this is your girl, Dr. L, on the eve of the big so-called Love Day. It so happened to be my birthday. So show me some honor and respect and all of those good things, some cuddly, ugly things. Wow, wow, wow. It is absolutely marvelous to hang out with you one more time. If you want to call me and, you know, hang in with me, 661-467-2407. That's 661-467-2407. Give me a call. Press 1 on your telephone keypad once you're in the chat room. And welcome all of those who are on CRSradio.com Facebook group page. And also welcome all of you on Caribbean Radio Show. And those of you also who are on CRSradio.com website or will be listening in the archive, I want to thank you so much for your support. This is about our 13th year on air, and it is absolutely because of you. Yeah, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. Yeah, yeah, all of you. All right. This is being a special, really, really, really special program. Episodes of this particular topic we have been running. Maybe this is our sixth or thereabout. And we're exploring the other woman. Yes, the other woman. And the importance that she might be playing or not playing in your relationship. I know some of you ladies out there is furious or have been furious or furious with me, but it's not. It's just reality. That's just what it's all about, reality. All right, let's jump right into it. We're looking at, I'm going to give you some scenarios. Just look at some of the things that are probably going on around you within your life. Some of you are aware. Some of you are condoning. Some of you create these situations. And it is working. And sometimes, just like any other thing, it doesn't work. So I'm going to give you some of the stories that I'm hearing since I started this program. So today we're going to give a couple of the stories, just share a couple of stories with you. This one, Liz, she is dating her third married guy, and third one, you know, married guy seems to like this open. We now have a term for that now, open relationship. Quite a bit of people are openly exposing their desire to be with more than one partner. And being with more than one partner, we're going to be learning over these next however many episodes, why do you really need this other partner when you have sworn before God and man that you'll have she and he or he only until death do us part. What is going wrong? What did we miss? Inception of the emotion of love taking over, this erratic, irrational state of mind causing you to make that decision, sign that paperwork, or without. Well, if you took the oath that you're going to be with her and her only, then you're breaking the vows, then those vows, you're breaking that contract. So if this wasn't in the original contract, and I think this is the problem that I have with marriage, we don't have a detailed contract. And when somebody crosses, I just don't think that just taking an oath until death do us part to love and to hold or whatever you made up as your vow, that is sufficient. I think it has to be a detailed description of what is expected in the marriage. So when something goes wrong, somebody would be held accountable. When you have a detailed description of what is expected of you, then somebody can come and say to you, you know what? You promised 3 years ago that you're going to be humping every night. Now, for the past 2-3 months, that hasn't happened. What's going on? You know? Then when you can approach it like that, you're able to fix it. Or decide, you know, I can no longer do it. And but that would be unfortunate, considering you took an oath until death do us part, right? And I think when you have a problem, you ain't dead yet. It should have never happened in the first place, much less to the point where it's unsalvageable and you have to go separate. I think that is, whoa, not good. And for me, let me tell you something. I want to do this marriage thing a little bit. You come before God and man, and we'll do a show on this in detail. You come before God and man and you claim you're going to love this person until death do thee part. And then you realize somewhere along the line it ain't working, which is a hell of a lot of people in marriages, right? So I'm saying marriages don't really, really work. Now, I'm not against marriage, though. I mean, this is not about me either. I mean, my little opinion don't really mean much. This is really just to try and lay things on the table and be realistic. If we are going into this friendship, sometimes it starts with friendship and that's a relationship, and then going into the ultimate relationship with marriage, we need to have some paperwork. We need to have something to follow. Now, if when you gather people around, they have to buy this expensive dress, this expensive clothes, and all those things that involve getting prepared for a wedding, and most of the time you get presents and there are big money presents that I have to buy, and then you reach to a stage where you decide it's not going to work, you need to give me back my money for the presents that I bought you. You need to give back everyone the money or the item that they've given you. Because here's the thing, they're doing this because they give you a present because you are getting married and you're taking this oath. And this is because of, it is this for this. You're getting married. We're going to be blessing you with this or going to honor you with this. And once you dishonor the marriage based on the contract that you've made, you need to pay up. You need to pay back. I'm sorry. No, I don't have to be sorry about that. That is supposed to be realistic. You need to pay back every bit of it because you've broken the contract. So I think if we start to put all of these in the package and husband really drive out his laundry list of what he needs and you really write out your laundry list of what you need, maybe you two guys would never, ever be together. I think the unfortunate thing, we start to create that list, this imaginary list, once we have taken the ultimate oath, and somewhere along the line we start to create some list or some needs, and oftentimes these needs cannot be met in the relationship. So hence somebody has to go out and seek it. So this is how I'm trying to point out how emotion, whatever caused us to make those decisions, is irrational, absolute irrational. All right. So let's get back to some of my peeps who have given me some, a little insight of what's going on in their life. So my girl now, she is divorced and she's dating a married man. And here is the thing. Once you get hit, it seems, and let me just finish this first. Anyway, after divorce, she said she went on one of these dating sites and she said in her thing, she decided she was going to put, she was in an open relationship. And only the men who were married. No, I'm laughing. I am laughing. Only the men who were married kind of pounces upon her. So there is this big need, especially for men, when they do get married. Why is that? Well, we're not going to get into all of that. No, that's for another time. But just trying to really look and say what it is about men when they're married. They're forgetting about that contract. What is it? You want to think that, hey, this is not a natural way of life. You know, monogamy is not a natural way of life. I'm not saying it is or it isn't, but maybe that's what it is, you know. But why would you break your contract to God and man after you already sealed the deal? So, okay, moving along. So the guys that answered to her ad was only the men who were married. They wanted to be, I guess, have their cake and eat it. So she didn't have any other man in her life. So this guy or the guy she was going to bring in, she would have, you know, let them know, hey, I'm going to be dating somebody else as well. And she was saying that most of the dates, you know, often involving sex, these guys, they wanted sex. Maybe they go out and watch a movie, have a little dinner or lunch, and it ends up in the bedroom. Sometimes they will chat a little bit, she says. This other person says she did this home relationship. This one for her was a good one, seems to be going very well still. The wife knows all about it. No, she's hanging out with him. And she also hangs out with the wife. I'm not thinking it's in a sexual way, but, you know, friendly way. The girlfriend of the wife's husband also have another mate, and he sometimes double dates with them. What a wonderful world. You know, everybody knows what is going on because this is what is going on, you know. And I was saying with COVID and all, this make all of these little matey or meta really unhappy at home because they're not able to do what they normally do to get out and get somehow involved and do their thing and, you know, make themselves happy, relieve themselves of the stress, just get away for a while and be in another kind of environment, whatever brings them out here. What we're trying to do, or what I'm trying to do, is to really get a hold of this, really answer the age-old question, why? Why do we bother to get married? Why do we have that ultimate oath or that contract? But within the contract, and I see nothing wrong with that, within the contract, the wording in the contract is not something often the people who decide to go in it can abide by. Is what I'm saying? That's the problem. That's my problem. So 661-467-2407. That's 661-467-2407. I'm going to challenge you. We need to talk about this. We need to continue to have this conversation where our lives as women and as men, emotional side, in a supportive side, in a relationship itself, if we're able to seriously talk about this and be honest, that's the word there. That's the operative word, honesty. Oftentimes, the pain and suffering when one finds out somebody is in another relation or somebody is in the relationship and they had no knowledge, they had to sneak upon, find out, or oftentimes somebody else outside of the marriage know more about the relationships going on than the person who is involved. And that can be hurtful. Yeah. Oh, my Lord. I'm just answering some question here in the chat room as well. 661-467-2407. Number to call if you would like to chat. Thanks all of those who are in the chat room here, you know, CRS Radio chat room. And those are going to be in the chat room over CRSRadio.com group page. I want to welcome the diva in the house, Miss Sharon Samuel. Happy birthday to you. Hey, Mr. Donovan. Also, three of us there sharing the same birthday. Happy birthday to you as well. Okay, moving along. Next case. We're doing case studies here. Case studies. All right. This other friend or acquaintance, her story is, let me see. She met, again, this persona on one of the other websites, the Love Connection stuff. She said at first the chemistry was excellent, an effortless conversation. Yeah, it seems that to, you know, it seems to be able to handle any kind of thing that comes by. You know, he had told her that he was seeing other people, and she understood what that meant. You know, she was currently dating a few persons herself, you know, and he kind of a late on the table. I think this is, maybe those are the honest part of the conversation, because for this to work, you have to have honesty. You cannot be honest with each other, right? And I think with these relationships, honesty probably is a little bit easier, because you start off with this right up front. Most of them, you know, most of them. A lot of times, some of the time, men never ever tell women that they're involved, because I don't know if they're ashamed of the relationship or I'm not too sure. These are things that we're exploring and finding out why. Oh, well, unscientific research. Okay, she said he'd realized that he had a primary partner. He did not realize that he wanted to have a partner, a primary partner, have her as a primary partner after a while. She had some reservation about it, but he was kind of understanding that she did not necessarily want that, at least at that time. I asked him for complete honesty, and she said he never kind of, you know, gave her what she was looking for. I think things didn't go too well after a while, and after a while, they just separated. The most important thing she said is having a multiple partner for her. It requires 100% total honesty. And this is what I was saying previously. She was given an example of a question that he'd asked her. And he would say to her when he did ask his response, I want to tell you the truth, but I'm worried it might upset you. How much information do you want me to share with you? That is just so awesome. I'm going to rest here a little bit. Here is the thing with a lot of women, or not only women, a lot of people in relationship, whether or not you're just coming into the relationship or you're in the relationship, one of the struggles is how much information do I give my prospective partner about my prior relationship? And a lot of time, even if you don't do it up front, it is going to come at some point in the relationship. What do you tell him about my ex-husband? Sometimes somebody's going to sit down. Oh, tell me a little bit about your ex-husband. Why did you break up? Why were you having problems? You know, that kind of a thing. So then you have to reveal private information. But if you don't reveal some of these information, the person might be thinking, hey, you still have some attachment to this person. And a lot of times you're thinking the fire is going to be easily ignited if getting the opportunity, or some unresolved, you know, thing is just lurking around ready to erupt. But what do you do? Do you tell them the truth? Or can they handle the truth? Can they really handle the truth? So, if, like Brian, if somebody asks you, and I think you can take away from the show tonight, and your partner asks you, hey, I want to know about Jack and Jill, you and Jack, when you were together. What kind, you know, how was he in bed? And men all like to do that too. What was he like in bed? And what if you say to him, you would say to Brian, hey, can I tell you the truth? How much of the truth? Wow. How much of the truth can you handle? How much of that can you really handle? And I think that is a setup for someone to really brace themselves for what is to come. Just give me a few moments here and let me get rid of this cough here. I'll play a little music until I get back. Just hang on. Welcome back. It's Sirius Radio Caribbean Radio Show, the Knowledge Station. And this is Dr. L right here in the early morning. And thanks so much for hanging out with me. It's the other woman in your man's life. And we're trying to figure out what's going on. Why did he need another woman? And whether or not this woman is playing a very important part in your life. Is it because your man is involved with another woman while you're still in the relationship, although you're antagonistic about it? And not getting the answers, or he's still not quitting, etc., etc. Why he's still there with you? These are some of the things we're trying to explore. Okay. So, Brian kind of line up my girl and say, hey, you know, you want to ask some real tough question here, but can you handle the truth? And I'm worried if I go deep down in the truth, it is going to upset you. How much information do you really want? And you really want everything, but can you handle it? And even if you don't express that anger at him immediately, he forewarned you, you still probably have some resentment, some residual resentment in the back of your mind carrying on for maybe the rest of the relationship. So what is it going to be? Is it that you want to know? Or is it that you will create some, or just leave it alone. And sometimes it is best for us to leave things alone that we have no control over. I was saying before, if, for example, a hard question, John may ask you, is your husband, your ex-husband, was he very good in bed? And suppose, for example, which could be the truth, that say, hey, he was awesome. The only thing that I couldn't take is his drinking habit or whatever that. Now, how does that, would he push for another part B of the question? As compared to me, how was he? Come on. That is going into some territory there. What if I says, you know what? You want the truth? He was, I really enjoyed that relationship better than I do with you. let's leave it right there. So when we talk about being open, honest, you have to know whether or not you can really deal with the honesty. What is this going to do to the relationship after you done get the honest truth? These are things that you really have to think about. All right. She continued to say, one of the requests I had was when he was with me, that he was with her. Because what they do to make sure that happened, and here is some of the things that the woman or you are in the other relationship, you have to make some demand. You're in a position to bargain. It's either take it or leave it. You know what I'm saying? You have to really, really do that. Because the reason why that is important, I think, this time, this little emotional thing is short. It's going to be absent for a long time. Sometimes depends on how much time he has to get to you. Maybe once a week, twice a week. For the other woman, for the woman or for the other person who is not involved, that can be emotionally draining, especially if it is good, you know, whatever good is, the relationship, the conversation, blah, blah, blah. And if she's only seeing him, then she's depending on that comfort, you know, that emotional, that psychological comfort. You know, she don't have anything else. He has something else to go home to, whether it's the misery or whatever it is. He has something to occupy him. She only have to be dreaming about what the next time is going to be. So she said, rules and regulation. And that's what I like. I like that. Set your rules. And she, one of the rules is that there can be no phone. Now, I don't care what's going on, the house next door, the children, blah, blah, blah. You can't have no phone. No phone. This 2-3 hours we are together, you cannot be on your phone. Phone cannot be ringing. So you don't have to cut my little time short, my moment. Somebody calling on the phone is the children. So you're into something, and all for that, that just breaks the whatever flow was going on. Mm-mm. So you have to prioritize what, when you're with me, you want to be with me, so be with me, because this is the only 2 hours I'm going to have for the rest of the week, and you're not going to bring your relationship over into our relationship. They should be separate. And you would hope that he would do that with the one he has at home as well. Because that can be really, really messed up. All right? Another thing she's saying, that both of them knew they were sharing. So they want things that are unique to them. It is important, she says, that they have a one-on-one kind of a personal, really focus with each other, and without any outside action. And she was saying, well, aside from maybe there is the odd emergency. You understand? So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're in a relationship, any relationship, you just don't ask for information unless you're able to deal with that. You know what I'm saying? If you're not able to deal with what you're going to be hearing, don't ask for it. You're asking for trouble. If nothing you take away from this show tonight, I would I would be happy if at least you can take, because this will last, not only in the relationship, but with all kind of relationship. You don't have to learn of everything. You don't have to learn know of every single thing. Now, this one was here, was a unique situation. This my girl, she met somebody on one of the other dating place. These dating places are so popular. You know, I never really could think of myself trying to find somebody on one of these places. But, hey, that's just me. Right away, she told this person that he told her that he was in an established relationship, meaning he has, you know, the wife and the setup. Before the first date, I was initially, she said, very apprehensive about that because she was really looking for, you know, that person. And then she started to think about it. He was kind of cool and, you know, everything. She was up front and she kind of ready to explore it a little bit, maybe until she found something. She just wanted to be involved in somebody. She knew that this wasn't permanent for him, but she was willing to take the chance or have whatever attracted her. She started getting involved with him and she would meet him, and most of the time it was a sexual one. But then a lot of the times after time, it's starting to get a little bit more comfortable where communication start to really be a part of it now, the sex, the communication, and she's realizing that I really like this guy. Now, once you hear that, and she is just he's the person who is in her life, she starts to realize she's getting emotionally attached. And now she wants more. She starts to miss him because the wait for him to come really extended sometime. It almost starts to paralyze her because she would sit at night just thinking about if the last time was good, thinking about the good times, thinking about when he comes. Then by time he leaves, this roller coaster of an emotional torture started to take a hold on her. And oftentimes the benefits of the couple of hours so-called good time does not compensate for the lifetime of overall benefit. You know, 2 hours of good time does not compensate for the other time when the need is there. Not to talk about all of the other things, the 401k, the savings account, the house, and getting out and not being in the dark if this is not one of the relationships. You see? So we have to really think seriously, ladies and gentlemen, whether you're a woman or whether you're a man trying to get into this kind of a relationship. It's not necessarily for everyone. It's not necessarily for everyone. You have to prepare yourself to deal with this kind of emotion, relationship. Yeah, you have to be really prepared. It's CRS Radio Caribbean Radio Show, the Knowledge Station. And of course, this is your girl, Dr. Ev, hanging out tonight or this morning. And thank you all for hanging out with me. Our special series, I'm the Other Woman in Your Man's Life. Could be the other way, too. All right. With this pandemic, I just found this as a topic that we really should delve in, because it is becoming a problem, and we understand more and more about relationship when we are in these isolation. You're trapped almost by yourself. It's almost you're in this prison somewhat for some people. A lot of us cannot do without that interaction. Many of us other, it is heaven. Just be by yourself, you know, totally by yourself. The ceiling is much more wonderful a communicator than with somebody. You know, we're all different. So you have to know what spin your boat or what flows your boat. So the emotional toll that the open relationship is going to give to you, sometimes it is not going to be worth it. If your other is the partner you're having is open on the other side with the partner, even at that point, depends on how the emotional stability of that your mate or matey, it's not going to work. And those people who are embarking upon this open relationship, you have to set the ground rules. More than anything, you have to set the ground rules, because then you have somebody stalking the hell out of you. Somebody's giving you the same kind of emotional crap that you're running away from at home is going to be even worse. So somebody who has real emotional needs is not going to be right for an open relationship, I think. Now, I'm not giving you any professional therapeutic way or telling you how to do whatever you do. It's just my humble opinion. All right? There are communities now that are popping up, like you call poly community. And those people are often called secondaries. that's a good word. What we call the other woman. But this time we don't call her the B word and the breaking a home woman and those monstrous things and ugly things. You have primary and you have secondary. And the primary relationship supersede other relationship or the secondary. So the primary is always there intact. The secondary is, you know, we can drop that off. And those can drop off and drop on. So you can have a secondary relationship. And that is subject to change. New is disposable, you know, but the primary is primary. And the polyamorous relationship is taking really a toll in our society. And that was always there. It's just that people aren't just saying, hey, it's time for us to hide, stop hiding in wherever we hide, and we come out and tell the truth. And if you can deal with this, then it's all so the better, because whether or not you like it, your man is still going to go out there. Whether or not he know, you know, he's still going to be going out and doing what he's doing. Why is that? I am not sure. Can't tell you why. Maybe this is not natural for us to be monogamous especially for some men, the needs are just so much greater. The culture cannot suppress that feeling, no matter how much contract and how much hope you go before man and God, it can't suppress it. But what we should do, and this is why I talk about, the love and making the decision when you have this emotional roller coaster, that you're not thinking about life after the wedding, the real, real, real life, the real problem, the real challenges, if it can survive that. We don't think about that when we're choosing a partner. Normally, you tend to look at what you can get out of this. Can this person support me? I look at his car. Hey, maybe I can drive a good car. Maybe if you look at his Rolex and you know he has money. And of course, he looks good. Maybe based on what you're doing, if you're a sexual person, you say, oh, damn, maybe he can do his thing. Other than that, the emotional part of it, the physical and the emotional, or the physical and the financial part of it, take precedence over the quality of life that you might be able to give, surpass all of that superficial thing. What kind of a person he is morally, what kind of a person not he is, but also how do you fit in his family, religion, and all of those things put together. How are you going to rear your children? Because once you start getting children too, the relationship again changes. Then you're going to find out certain things in his background that he wants for his children and you want for your children, how you raise the children and all of that. That is going to become a focus. Do we not take the time to look at all of these things before we get into this? Oftentimes, no. Emotion takes over rather than rational. Okay? So we need to do things a little bit differently. Not a little bit different, a whole lot differently. And if we can find a way to do things differently, I think adapt to a different area. If you're in a certain country, it is not so difficult because that is the culture. And if, say, you're in some African country, you're not, the other woman is not a secondary. She is a wife. It's not no secondary stuff. She's a wife. And for you to be able to have another wife, you'll have to be able to afford another wife because there is family in that. And I really believe in some way that is a good idea. Here's why. If you have two or three wives, and if you're a man and you want to build a kingdom, that is the best way to do it. You have all of your folds together. You have 20, 30 children. You would be able to take care of them because that's the reason why you would be afforded in the laws of that country to get additional wives. So they have to be treated equally. The children have to be treated equally. So you are creating this kingdom. You have there the workforce. And the workforce could be in the terms of lawyer, doctor, Indian chief, realtor, teacher, and all of that. So that will build a kingdom. Whatever they have will come together. This is how you build generation. Folks who have wealth, great wealth, that's how they do it. They may not have much children, but they have the wealth. Somebody get the breakaway with the money, and that is kept in the family. The other way to do it is to have all of those children creating a kingdom and build from there if you don't have that start out capital, right? Call it start out capital. I use the physical or the human capital. And you build your kingdom. Because if I have $1 trillion like Mr. Bezos and you have two children, what is that for? You know, how much money of that you can eat? $1 trillion. How much money you can eat of that? How much cars you can buy and enjoy it? How much time in your little 70 years of life that you can enjoy it? So when you die, you have one child. Where does it go? I mean, you know, luckily some of these guys, they're entrepreneurs. They're giving it back to the society where, you know, is really needed to help. And that is wonderful. But I think we really, in order to enjoy this 90 years or 70, 80, how many years we have here, if, for example, we come here, I always believe, here's what I believe, we are here just for the sexual experience. Do you think so? I really think so. You may not agree with me. You decide wherever you are in the universe. You know what? I want to go down and meet John, and I want us to have a good time. Some of us, maybe some people, I want to go down and see John because I want to hurt them because they hurt X and they hurt Y before. Because that's what people do down here. You see, people get up, they become entrepreneurs, they create new gadgetry and so the world can be better for it. And we have their name all over in lights and building and we praise them. There's some guys who come down here and whoop off and took out building and take out lives too. They're up where they are and say, you know what, this person did me something or did my family, and I'm going to go down there and revaga, and I'm going to X and Y. Some of us would be up there looking and say, you know what, I'm going to down and rule this country, change people's lives or make people's life miserable. The same way. You look at a guy from up there or a girl and say, hey, I'm going to go down there and just make some good love to this person and multiply. I want to leave up here and go multiply myself, you know, when you look at life. Because we don't know why we are here, where we are here for, where we're coming for, where we're going. A lot of people say a lot of other things, but until now I haven't heard anybody who went up there or down there and came back or send back a text message or a telephone call or write a letter to say exactly what is going on. But people say, well, yeah, you're going to meet this and all of that. I just think so. That is probably far away from the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, we are at that point where we're going to be taking a break and come back and talk to you tomorrow. And this is an absolute great topic. I think we should start to look at in detail. It may take a lot of the drama out of our lives. It may help us to be healthier psychologically. We could turn around the culture. We would create healthier environment if we only are able to be honest. For most time, and think about it, how much time are you really honest a day to your partner? You're never really opening up the true self of how you feel. Maybe when you just started out in a relationship, you were able to express some truth. But after a while, we hide everything. We internalize a lot of things. But when we want to say the truth, we get up and we cuss. That's the only time. Or we get drunk and you say things. And then you say you're sorry, but you're really not sorry. You know, that's the time the truth is. Hey, guys, want to thank you once again for hanging out with me. is Dr. L. And if you're going to make some love tonight, make some good love and take care of the ones that you are loving on. And we see you again tomorrow, sometime tomorrow.